Sorry about that. Maybe I'm especially loud tonight. Great to see everybody. Thank you so much for coming to CCF tonight. Very excited about Carry the Love. I talked to Brad, the guy that's coordinating that whole thing as it goes nationwide, and they're doing what they're doing. Talked to him right before CCF. He goes, hey, I know you're about to start and everything, but just want to make sure that you're letting everybody know it's going to be amazing. God's really moving in profound ways everywhere that we've been. We've seen people getting healed, getting saved. It's just amazing. And so it's really cool to hear the praise reports about what God is doing. There's definitely a movement that has the blessing and the hand of God on it. I want to encourage you to come. Both campuses, please bring people. It'd be amazing. Some of you were at Hope Fest and what happened and what we had here in our sanctuary down here in the worship center a few years ago with the Circuit Riders was there, and it's a Circuit Rider band. It's not going to be the exact same people, but it's that band, that group. They're incredible. It'll be a great time of worship and a great time of gathering together and seeing God move in awesome ways. So you're welcome to come to that. And then, as Spencer and Hannah said, Super Bowl parties will be happening on Sunday after church. Church is the main event, after which we're going we'll have a little game happening. I think the average ticket price is a record for this Super Bowl. $7,000 is the average ticket. And so if you want to come to church for half that, you're welcome to do that. And I just put that in the offering, and it'll be an amazing time together with a lot better views and a better outcome. Amen. Thank you, honey. That was great. Awesome. It'll be amazing. So please come. We're going to have a party at our house. You're welcome to come by there, whatever. People having parties. Well, just wander up and down Fountain Street. There's all kinds of people who live from church there. And there's people that aren't from church live up there. They're not from church yet. We pray every night that they'll get saved. And people are getting saved. The Holy Spirit's moving. People are getting healed. And Fountain Street, the Holy Spirit is flowing on Fountain Street. So, amen. Stop by. Okay. So, tonight, we are beginning to get into the topic of relationships a little bit. And I love this topic. My prayer and hope is that I can keep tonight's message because of the burden that's in my heart finishing Sunday. And so, I brought some snacks, and no, I'm just kidding. We're going to try to keep things still in the appropriate time frame. But my heart is so full for you and relationships and what God has and everything. I love this topic. Tonight we're going to be not focusing exclusively so much on romantic relationships, although that certainly is something that I know all of us think about, unless we're like bitter and we've stopped thinking about it for a little while. But you'll be back. You'll be back. You will. Yeah, if it makes a comeback. Come back around. But we're going to be looking at relationships in general and what makes them work. And so our scripture is 1 John 4, 7 through 8, kind of our main scriptures we go in here. We'll look at 1 Corinthians 13 as well. You can't look at relationships without 1 Corinthians 13. But here's 1 John 4, 7 through 8 in the ESV. Bless you, honey. Bless you, honey. Bless you, honey. I love you. I recognize her sneeze. It's cute. Okay, here we go. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. All right? How many people know the song when you were little? You learned the song, right? There we go. Okay, about four people. It's good. It's a good song. I don't know that you necessarily need to learn it on YouTube or anything. I'll go look it up. But Flannel Graphs, old songs like that, it's cool. They'll be back too. Okay, so so God, the main point here in our scripture, I want you to keep in mind tonight, is that God is love. I think there's a lot of confusion in our culture about what love is, and God is love. And so, you know, is means equals. And so you can say God equals love, love equals God. We understand what love is when we understand God. And to the degree that we understand God, we understand love. The greater that we understand God, we understand love, because God is love. All right? God is love. We've got crazy things going on in our culture. Crazy news happening all around us, right? We got the coronavirus. Everybody's trying to figure out what that is. College campuses, they're seriously, this is the news. People are confusing it with beer. You know, Corona is going, please still drink our beer. You won't get sick. And pastors are going, please don't drink the beer and you won't get sick. You know, and so it's kind of this crazy thing going on and everything. We're like, yes, don't drink it. Anyway, so we have the coronavirus going on and everything. We've got volcanoes erupting. We've got earthquakes. Puerto Rico was just mentioned. They're recovering from that, right? All this stuff going on. Our country is kind of crazy. We've got racial divide like crazy. People are saying Martin Luther King Jr. would roll over in his grave if he saw what's going on in this nation. Never would have dreamed that after all of his work that he'd see what is happening in our nation right now. It's kind of insane what's going on there. We've got the impeachment trial going on, everything that's going on there and everything. And we've got, the Republicans versus the Democrats. We've got this partisan politics going on like crazy. People are choosing sides. We have people all across the nation saying, I'm on this side. Other people saying, I'm on this side. Hollywood is going, we're on this side. Other people going, hey, I'm associated with somebody on this side, but don't get me wrong, okay, I'm still mostly on this side and whatever. And all. I mean, it's just a huge deal. It's this huge, huge division. In politics right now, as we're moving toward our presidential election be coming up, we've got all the ads coming out on that. And I tell you what, I have yet to see, I don't sit around and watch political ads, but I have yet to see a positive one. There's one major candidate that all I have seen is attack ads, right? That's kind of what people do, is attack ads. I kind of wonder sometimes, okay, I'm getting what you who you stand against. I'm kind of wondering what you stand for. Anybody else wonder that? I was thinking about that, and what if social media worked that way? What if Facebook and Instagram worked that way, and all you could post was negative stuff about other people? Because that's what politics are really, in a lot of ways. I was thinking about that, and I was kind of musing the way that I do it, and I thought, man, it'd be funny. That'd be like this whole new social media thing called InstaSlam. I was like, And then I thought about that, and I thought, that's really good. And I thought, that's so good. I'm sure it's already happening. So I looked it up, and sure enough, you got InstaSlam. You know, people are doing all this stuff. They're like just slamming other people. It's an InstaSlam. And that's what people are calling it. So you just find stuff that people post and you share it again. And you go, what idiot, blah, blah, blah. InstaSlam, all right? And I'm going, of course. That's how we learn to relate in our culture, in these negative sort of ways. And the truth is we feel so terrible about ourselves sometimes that the only way we can think about making ourselves feel better is by demeaning other people. I'm kind of stuck at this level, all right? My life is sort of here, all right? Pathetic, good, bad, whatever. Here's my life, all right? And it's really awkward for me to look up at somebody else and go, look where they're at. I would like to attain to what they've attained to, and that's difficult. I'll feel worse about myself if I do that. So what I'll do instead is knock other people, put them down, so I feel bigger than them. No matter how small my life is, if I can find other people and make them look smaller than me, at least I'm not the smallest. What a sad way to live. Like, hey, I'm not the worst. That's my claim to fame. I'm not the worst. Can you imagine that? If everything you did was just really summed up in this, hey, I'm not the worst. At least I can still look down on other people. Worse than me. Never mind that 98% of the planet is living better than me, okay? If as long as there's 1% below me, I'm okay. And a lot of times we live that way. And it's a terrible way to live. We see it all the time. I've seen it in my own life so many times, and there's sometimes this little warning light comes on the dashboard of my life when I find myself a little critical of other people. It's because I don't feel good about myself, all right? Jesus didn't find himself critical of other people very often. He was more secure than that. He's like, I could vaporize them right now, they never existed. And he just died for us anyway. Secure. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of everything. He came worthy to be served at every turn. And instead, he washed people's feet. He's secure enough to humble himself and go, I'm happy to be at the bottom of this, if that's how everybody sees it, because I came to serve and not be served. So we see that in our own lives, and that's how we relate with people. We don't trust politics. We don't trust a lot of the people around us, and that bleeds over into relationships. We don't trust other people. It's challenging our motives, and it's interesting. One of the things that you see happening with all that is we're wondering, what are other people thinking? I can't trust this person, can't trust that person, can't trust that event, can't trust these people over there, can't trust that group, whatever, okay? We're also just not trusting the people that are closest to us that we'd like to be close to, all right? One example of that is the age for marriage continues to climb steadily, sort of rapidly, okay? In the 50s, the average age for marriage for men was about 22. Now it's 29.8, approaching 30. Back when I got married, when I was 32, people were like, whoa, bro, that's like, you've been like, you're almost dead, and you're finally getting married, It's getting closer to average, and I know, that was 50 years ago, but it's getting closer to average, it's amazing. I don't know, it probably won't be long. It's people like, what, 32, so young, did you even know how to tie your shoes at 32? I'm like, oh, yeah, I did, we figured that out. That's right. Okay, and in the 50s, 22, we're rapidly, 29.8, rapidly approaching 30 for men, all right? The average adult male above 18 in the 50s, 75% of them were married. Okay, right about three quarters. Now it's 51% of men over 18 are married, all right? They're doing surveys, and people are saying that marriage is sort of becoming obsolete, outmoded, old-fashioned, okay? But all the people they talk to that have never been married say they hope to get married someday, all right? And it's just interesting. We're so afraid of it. Relationships is such a challenging thing. They'll go, oh, yeah, you know, that's not even a thing anymore. You know, we're smarter than that now. But then under our breath, we're like, man, I hope I get married someday, you know? It's a way that it works. But we're terrified, all right? We don't know if we can trust. We're not sure how this whole thing is going to work out for us, all that. It's very, very scary, really. Vulnerability is the key to relationship, and it's a very scary thing as we question the motives of other people. And so what we end up doing is we end up settling for okay. And our title tonight, okay, relationships, just okay is not okay, all right? Some of you have seen some of the commercials, AT&T. Here's my favorite, I think, right now.
Just okay is not okay. AT&T has America's best network.
Now, does it get any easier? I'll let you know. Looks out. Nope, the second time is just as scary. All right, here's this person who's supposed to be training him, teaching him, his instructor, whatever. And you go, who is this idiot that's supposed to know more about this than I do? And if you just settle for just okay when you're parachuting, all right, you're learning to do that, then you might be pretty foolish, all right? You might be insane. You don't settle for just okay with the scariest things in life unless you're crazy. But the truth is, we do it all the time. Just okay is not okay. But relationships are so terrifying that we end up settling for okay. The news is appalling. Sometimes I wonder why I even look at the news. And there's some things I look at real quick and I just kind of move on. There was a guy that was just convicted of sexually assaulting and murdering his girlfriend's two twin daughters, all right? He's going to jail and of course, going to prison for a long time or probably whatever, all right? And you just can't help but think, what is she doing in a relationship with a guy like that? Like, there had to be some warning signs someplace, right? And you go through over and over again. Men do the same thing, right? You know, it's, I don't know, you know, men are probably the worst in the relationship when it comes to all this sort of stuff, this craziness and everything. But we all just make these crazy choices because we're afraid, we're terrified, we're vulnerable, we don't want it, but we desperately want it at the same time. We're not sure, and so we end up settling for okay. It's better than nothing sometimes. Like, I'd rather breathe poison than not breathe at all. You know, if I can't trust, and that's how we feel in the whole thing, and so we end up just settling for okay. And remind me of this. I have right here. These are Cosmic Crisp apples. This is a Cosmic Crisp, developed at WSU. All right. Now some of you are going, whoa, because this is like might as well be precious metals. I mean, these things are like $3.50 a pound at Safeway. Then behind a locked case. You know, you walk in there, and you're like, I'd like a Cosmic Crisp. They're like, we're going to have to see some cash first, please, sir. You know, before they open it, oh, okay. You know, you get out the apple and everything, you know. I mean, it's crazy. They're crazy, crazy expensive. I said, honey, will you get two of these? We're at the store. She's like, are you sure? I'm like, yes. She goes, what are you going to do with them? I'm like, I can't make any promises. But anyway, these are very expensive, the Cosmic Crisp apples, okay. So remember the first time I made an apple pie with the kids, all right? And because, I don't know, I tend to, this stuff kind of happens when Suzanne's gone. And I guess that should tell you something, all right? But I was making so I got a knife out and I'm doing this. I'm going, this is stupid. You know, a knife peeling an apple is just okay. I saw the world record for peeling an apple with a knife, I think it's 16.4 seconds, you know, whatever. And so this guy peels his apple real fast. I'm like, well, that's okay. But I'm like, I got a whole, I did one apple. I'm looking at the pile of apples I need to peel. I'm like, this is not okay, all right? It's just okay. But at the end of this whole thing, it's not okay. So then I got out the peeler, right? Okay, so instead of being so careful, got the peeler. And this is like, I think it's the XOXO, right? We got, when we got married, somehow this survived my best attempts to destroy it. And this thing is still reasonably sharp and everything. And so we got that. And this is better. It was awesome. But then I think I'd heard this thing or something, I don't know. And so I told the kids, kids, your mom's not coming home for a little while, right? And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, come here, come here, come here, come here. All right. And so I got a drill. Because I was tired of just okay, all right? And we made a whole pie this way. Let me just show you real quick. You want to make sure the rotation is the right way, all right? Josh, should we do another song after CCF still? It might be messy. Oh, anyway, so this is what we did. Remember, the record's 16.4 seconds. That was actually about as messy as I remember. Okay. I was like, that is way cooler. You know, and so the kids are going, Dad, get your phone. We got to take a video, you know. And I think Suzanne came home right about when we were doing the last Apple, if I remember right. Now I can't see anything. I have apple cider or whatever it is all over my. Okay. It was awesome. You know, the kids like, yay, we love you, Dad. You know, it's just amazing. I'm like, that's right. It's how we do it. You know, we're making apple pie. All right. It's just okay. It's not okay. All right. There's a better way to do this. It's kind of the way that I function. I tend to function. But we settle for just okay because to do it the right way, we're like, well, you know, if you don't have that stuff, I just have that stuff because we do some contract work and everything. But if you don't have a paddle bit to go and a drill and all that stuff for him, you're like, man, I don't know. And power tools are kind of dangerous. And a paddle bit could like cut you. I'm like, well, of course it can. But so can a knife. And that's way more fun, all right? It's way more fun, all right? But that's the way that we approach life. We go, you know what? To do it kind of the exciting way, whatever, is just so risky, all right? Is this something I want to get the resources together for? And so we end up just settling for okay over and over and over again. And we end up in a place that we never would dream we ever would be because we settle. Here's 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to wrap up with this chunk of scripture and just a couple thoughts on it. It says this, God is love, okay? And so put God in here everywhere. It says love. Here's what scripture tells us, that we're supposed to trust him and wait on him for, because a lot of our relationships in life are messed up, but not this way. It says love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Keep going. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always honors, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's love. Now, a lot of us, we'll just settle for like. Okay, I know love is kind of unrealistic. You know, it's kind of a dream. I'll just settle for like, you know. Like, I mean, it's kind of a little more fleeting, you know, but it's okay. If I could just find someone who like me for a while, okay, that'd be cool. And it'll you know, come to an end and everything. But then probably I'll find someone who like me again. I'll work on some things, you know. Work out, do a little makeover and whatever, all that stuff. Find a personal trainer. Get some stuff together, all right, improve my grades. Yeah, that's easy, you know. But, and I'll work on all the stuff and everything. And I'll find someone else who likes me. We kind of move from there. But because this just isn't realistic. And some of us are even tired with the like game, okay? We go, that's tough, all right? And that's not that dependable, all right? It's been a while since anybody even liked me. And so what a lot of us end up doing is we end up settling for lust. Because that is the one that's most consistent, most dependable, and most available in the world around us today. So I rewrote 1 Corinthians 13. God, forgive me. I'm not trying to add to Scripture, okay? But just bear with me on this, okay? Please don't be offended. Lust, this is the flip in the whole thing, okay? Lust is demanding. Lust is mean. Lust envies. It boasts. It is arrogant. Lust shames others. It looks out for itself. It is easily angered. It always remembers what you did wrong. Lust delights in lies and hates the truth. Lust always hurts, always walks away, always distrusts, always abandons you, and lust always betrays. Here's the problem. But some of us are going, you know what? In my experience, lust never fails. I can always find someone else who's lusting as well. All right, so I got lust in my heart. Find someone else who's lust. You know, lust meets lust, and we're not expecting anything more than that. Okay. It's just okay. Just okay is not okay. God never designed you for just okay. God is love, not lust. What I just read up there, okay, that is not God, right? You are created. We are created in the image and likeness of God. That is what he designed us for. And if that is not befitting God, that is not befitting you. If that is not befitting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then it is not befitting. It is not part of the heart, the life, the soul of his sons and daughters. The King would never, never want that for his sons and daughters. But we settle. And he says, trust me. He says, wait. Never settle. Just okay is not okay. And so as we look at this, we need to understand there is a lot that God needs to do in each one of our hearts. And there's a lot that he needs to do in the hearts of those around us. And the beautiful thing is that as long as we're embracing God and the people around us are embracing God, then profound things begin to happen. Because love never fails. And God has better than that for you. Better than that for me. And so if you look at a relationship around you, let's look at these real quick. Love is real quick. And the relationship that you're looking at, if this is not him or this is not her, it is not love. It's probably much more lust, maybe a little bit of like. Is it patient? This relationship, this idea in your heart and where it is you see yourself, love is patient. Next one. Is it kind? Are you kind? Are we being kind to each other? Is the person I'm interested in kind? Are the relationships we got around us in our Bible study, in our small group, in our church, in our living situation, in our family, whatever it is there kindness happening there? There must be. Speaking of which, real quick, I got home tonight. Real quick to grab a bite to eat and grab my clothes and come back down here. And I was in there grabbing my clothes, and Suzanne was coming back from Spokane from the kids' game, and Lizzie, our 9-year-old daughter, was home. And I hear her yell. She goes, Daddy! And I said, Yes, Lizzie? You know, usually that's bad. You wonder what went wrong or you know, what she wants, whatever, right? You know? And she goes, What do you want for dinner? And I was like, I'm sorry? No. What do you want for dinner? I'm like, I'm sorry, Lizzie. I'm really having a hard time hearing you clearly. What's that? She goes, What do you want for dinner? I was like, Am I alive right now? Pinch me. She goes, What do you want for dinner? I'm like, What are my options? What do you recommend? I'm like, This is uncharted territory for me. She goes, How about a ham and cheese sandwich? I was like, That sounds amazing. And I'm going, Yeah, I know she recently talked to her mom. I'm like, honey, you're amazing. Thank you so much for telling me. You know, this is what I'm thinking. Whatever. So, okay. And so then I hear you. Do you want mustard and mayo? I'm like, yeah, just a little bit. Okay. Do you want shredded cheese or sliced cheese? I'm thinking knives or everything. I'm like, hold off on the cheese, okay? I'll help out with that. All right, I'm thinking my message illustration, everything can go wrong. I'm like, no, don't worry about the cheese. All right. Let daddy cut the cheese. That's what I tell my kids all the time. Let daddy cut the cheese. Dad cuts the cheese in our house. Anyway, she goes, I found some pre-sliced cheese. I'm like, sounds great. You know, I'm like, who is this girl? And what has she done with my daughter? You know, so she goes, I come upstairs. She has it in a sandwich bag. And she has a Fresca. I drink a little Fresca. And she has it specially wrapped in a paper towel, taped, you know, to like keep it like a little, I don't know, the, you know, like a little cooler thing to kind of keep it. I'm like, what? She goes, how's a banana? You want a banana? I'm like, yes, that sounds great. Thank you. She's in the bag and ready for me. And I go, I'm going to be just in a minute. She goes, I'll put it in the fridge for you. I'm like, you know, so put it in the fridge. And I'm like, you know, I know her mom didn't tell her that. So I came back out. I was ready. I said, thank you so much, Lizzie. She goes, you're welcome. I said, did you talk to mom? Did mama ask you to go? And she goes, no. I just knew that you needed dinner and wanted to bless you. Thank you, God. There's hope. There's hope. Just my work. There's a God who does miracles in our house. It's amazing. There's kindness there. There's something genuine happening in her heart. I'm just going, thank you, God. Let's move on. I'm sorry. Let's be patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. If relationship you're in, a relationship's around, you're full of envy. If it's in your heart, it's not love. It's time for God to do what work. I'll wrap up. Christian, if you could come up, please. Have the band come up. Love does not boast. Talked about Jesus. Love does not dishonor others. Respect and honor. Love is not self-seeking. Looks for the best interest of others. Next. Love is not easily angered. Ooh. Keeps no record of wrongs. And instead of keeping track of it all, it's just forgiven, forgotten. Love does not delight in the evil. Just want the truth. Rejoices with the truth. Almost done. Always protects. Protects. Love always trusts. Instead of controlling, love always hopes. Faith always perseveres. It will win. Love never fails. Can we just pray as we wrap this up? God, we thank you. You are love. And while on the one hand, it's just too high a standard to attain to, God, we know that you're doing miracles in our hearts. And if a nine-year-old can step outside of herself, just bless. Then those of us that are two or three times that age certainly have the maturity and the relationship with you to say, I can be selfless. I can seek the benefit and the best of others. Jesus, you laid it down, all of it. When you deserved the honor, you were humiliated. When you deserved the worship, you were scorned. And when you came to heal, others wounded you. You resurrected others and you died for us. And Jesus, I thank you for your example, and I ask that you would fill our hearts with the love of our Father, that we might love the world around us. Jesus, I pray that you'd give us faith, you'd give us the hope, you'd give us somehow, when we're surrounded with a world that's made a mess of it, give us a perspective that says, God can do miracles. God, we know no political party, no center for disease control, no scientist, no philosopher can save us, but only the God who is love, as we love each other like Jesus loved us. God, we look to you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.